Welcome to the Authority of Love. I'm your host, Greg Williams, and my co-host and friend, David Walls, has joined us again today for another Family Foundation Friday. And David, I have to start with this. Sunday is Mother's Day, and I don't know where I'd be without my wife and the mother of my children, Amy. She's incredible and wonderful, and I'm blessed, so blessed. And I know you'll say the same thing about yours.
Yeah, our listening audience, all the men are saying, thank you, Greg, for reminding me. No.
No, just send your donations to you. Yeah, no, right.
That's no, exactly right. It's so thankful for the love and care of my mom and for my wife and how she loves and cares for our family and for our kiddos. Where would we be, Greg, without mothers?
Absolutely. And mine passed away about 2.5 years ago, and I have great memories. So, and especially the last few years, some of our conversations about God and His Word were just, I mean, she was a strong Christian, and the way she passed was evidence of that. I had a nephew tell me at Thanksgiving this last year, the way your mom passed into the next life changed my faith.
Wow.
Yeah, that was beautiful, and I could tell you other stories. Yeah, it was a great testimony. So anyway,
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah, great. We didn't even plan that. That's Holy Spirit right there. We got to count on that. So it is. Don't forget that. Do what you need to do to encourage them. And you said, where would we be? I would say this, where would our churches be?
Yeah.
Without our mothers and grandmothers. We know that over the years, I had two grandmothers that kept churches going when circuit rider preachers would come around once a month or so. They would open the church every Sunday so they could have Sunday school.
Wow.
They wouldn't be preaching, but they'd have Sunday school. And then once or twice a month, the circuit rider would come around. It's crazy. I know that dates me, but it is what it is. So thank you, mothers and grandmothers. Thank you so much. Last week, David, we talked a little bit about, I think it's a great, you said it'd be a great segue, and I agree with you, President Biden's reissuing, basically, and totally changing Title IX and the effect on women.
Yeah.
And he's done it again.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked, Greg, about just the, you know, continued concern about how the Biden administration is using his office and his administration to push the radical LGBTQ agenda through the administrative state. We saw this again this week, or within the last couple weeks. The Biden administration has put out another set of proposed rules that would...
This is all done through regulation.
All through regulation,
not through legislation,
not law,
right?
And we can have that discussion about
the
growing fourth branch of government mentioned in our Constitution.
Executive regulation.
Yes.
Yes.
But they have finalized new rules that would threaten the ability of faith-based agencies to place children in foster care.
Yeah.
Our friends at Kentucky Today did a really good piece on this and how it would impact Sunrise Children's Services, which is a very well-known, respected Christian adoption and foster care agency, I should say, here in Kentucky, that just does marvelous work.
Yes. Yeah. Often taking the least of these.
Yes.
If you know Sunrise, they're often taking the least of these and really helping with those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is an issue, a couple years ago, we helped, promote a petition when our governor, Andy Beshear, was threatening the ability of Sunrise to continue to partner with the state because Sunrise wanted to continue to uphold its biblical values and beliefs about marriage and family. And this issue has continued to play out nationally. There's actually was a U.S. Supreme Court decision a couple years ago, I believe, based on a Catholic agency out of Philadelphia,
Charity or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And they won that case.
Yes.
But we continue to see this administration wanting to use the administrative state to really go after faith-based organizations and people that hold to traditional moral values, Greg. And it really is, it's so troubling. So what essentially this rule would do would say that that if you have a child that identifies as LGBTQ, if you're going to place that child in a home, it has to be in a home that will only affirm and promote and further,
damage
a child by upholding these identities that we know are harmful.
And we're speaking research there. When I say that word, research shows that, David.
Yeah.
When you and I say that word, we're talking not just scripture, we're talking research that shows the long-term damage with that.
Yeah. So, you know, there was Dan Suttles, who's the president of Sunrise Children's Services, said in this article that while they're still assessing it, the results of this could be devastating to how their ministry operates. Wow. Look, we all recognize it's not just in Kentucky, all across this nation, many states. There's a crisis in our foster care systems.
Yeah. Our families.
Well, it starts with the families.
Right.
But if we recognize that there's a crisis in this, what we need is more providers.
Yeah.
But what this administration and rules like this are attempting to do are to shut out Christian and faith-based providers and say, we don't want you helping children because we disagree with your beliefs. We think it's wrong to say that we want to place a child in a married mother and father household as Sunrise.
Who believes in heterosexuality.
Right.
And two genders.
Right. So again, who's getting caught up in this political crossfire that the administration is playing with this issue? The kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
The kids are the one. We're gonna potentially exclude a significant portion of the providers based on ideology. And so it really is tremendously concerning, to say the least.
And David, here's the other issue that we've got to consider with this, is that then, in the long term, continues to destroy future marriages and families.
Yes.
So, and that's the foundation of society.
Yeah.
We all know, we've known it for millennia, that's the case. We'll have a lot more to say about that as it goes along. But I know that the United Methodist Church has fallen prey to this as well, and they came out kind of with a final statement here recently that I know you all are going to share something about.
Yeah, you know, this was in the news, I believe, this week, Greg. Just you know, tremendously breaks my heart to see, but honestly, not unexpected. The United Methodist Church just had its 2020 General Conference where they get together and look at their official teachings and doctrines. And, you know, as folks are probably aware, we've talked about this some, you know, because of this continued split in the United Methodist over the issue of marriage, biblical marriage, LGBT issues, you have seen over the last several years a significant amount of faithful Methodist churches leave the denomination.
Yes, just in a conference with one recently. Just in a conference with one of those recently.
So I believe the stats are, Greg, here in Kentucky, almost half of the United Methodist Church have left the denomination. I know in many other states you've seen similar numbers. So a significant portion have left. And so what you were left with now was a conference that took place with many of the Bible-oriented churches having left the denomination. And so we shouldn't be surprised, but it's still is you know, tremendously concerning. They essentially abandoned historical Christian teaching on marriage, on homosexuality, on gender and sexuality issues, and the vote wasn't even close.
Right.
The vote
because,
wasn't
as
even
you
close.
Said, they have weeded out, at least from their perspective, those who don't agree with them, or most of them.
Yeah.
And now they move wholeheartedly or full force into that agenda, which is clearly. Let's go to the scripture. It's Romans 1.
Yep.
It's Romans 1. And we are reaping what we've sown. I say this, David. The churches have kowtowed to what media and politicians and government says. We capture an issue. We make it political, which they do on a lot of these things. So churches need to stay out of it. And most pastors are more than willing to excuse and leave out God's truth listening to the politicians and the media.
Right.
And they stay out of it. This is the fruit of what we get.
Yeah.
I hope that pastors will wake up to this. Yeah. Some do,
it
but
will,
so many don't.
Yeah, and the reality is, Greg, is a lot of these churches that are these, you know, pro-LGBT congregations, they're hyper-politicized.
Yes.
I mean, I remember when I was in Austin, I believe it was the First United Methodist Church of Austin, was known as, you know, the central hub of LGBTQ advocacy, and they kept a rainbow flag up on the front of their church almost year round. And so, you know, it's sad to see what continues to happen when we have churches and institutions that have, you know, have a history of, you know, proclaiming the gospel, saying we're going to follow, we're choosing now, we're going to follow the culture instead of standing firm on God's word. And we know, when the church caves on doctrine, it only diminishes our witness for Christ.
Absolutely.
We may think otherwise, we're doing these things because this is going to give us, you know, applause from the culture, but at the end of the day, we're not seeking applause from the culture. No. We're seeking to stand before the Lord and say that we honored His word.
Right.
And that's what He will ultimately bless.
What we have done is we have created a God in our image and built churches in that same image.
Yeah.
And it's not the God of the Bible.
Yeah.
It's very clearly not the God of the Bible. There's another issue that's come out culturally that's right in line with all this as well. Not just the United Methodist Church and other churches, but Boy Scouts of America basically no longer exist.
Yeah.
And of course the numbers have decreased tremendously over the last several years.
Yeah.
But now they're called Scouting America. What have you heard about that, David?
Yeah, you know, this is the Boy Scouting America, formerly the Boy Scouts, are exhibit A, B, and C of what happens when you compromise morally.
Yeah.
I thought Tony Perkins put it really strongly in a statement that he put out. He said, the Boy Scouts will now stand as a prophetic reminder of the cost of moral compromise.
Yeah, yeah.
And not that we have time to kind of tell the whole story here, Greg.
Not right now.
But,
no,
you know, the Boy Scouts actually, not that long ago, in sometime after 2000, went to the United States Supreme Court to fight and won a United States Supreme Court case to uphold their policy of saying we're not going to allow openly homosexual members of the organization.
Right.
But they saw tremendous pressure. There were members of their board, you know, in corporate 500. They were pushing to become more inclusive.
Cracked the door a little
bit. They dropped their policy on open homosexuality among boys. Yep. Then they said they weren't going to, but they were going to hold firm on leaders.
Yeah.
They dropped it on leaders.
That's gone.
Then you saw them say, well, we're going to start allowing boys who identify as girls to participate.
Yeah.
And then you saw them say, well, actually, we're just going to allow girls to participate. And now, fast forward all the way, they're not even the Boy Scouts. They have completely lost their identity.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, have they seen an increase in numbers
no.
because of their
no continues
inclusivity?
Yeah.
No, the ability of this organization to continue to operate. I mean, look, there could not be a more important time and moment in our culture to have organizations like the Boy Scouts.
Yeah.
Discipling boys into men.
Speaking of which, you and your sons are involved in a group that is a great alternative to this,
Christian
right?
alternative that really was birthed out of the moral compromise of the Boy Scouts that's called Trail Life USA.
And there's Heritage Girls that have done the same thing to Girl Scouts, right?
My son and I joined a troop here in Lexington in the last year, and it's been just a blessing for he and I. To participate in that, and it truly is really a discipleship program,
That's
Christian-based
great.
Discipleship program for fathers and their sons.
We want to close because we've just got a few seconds left. Primary is in 12 days. You can go to govote.ky.gov to find out the deadlines and everything on that, and then go to
votekentucky.us. You can get a Christian voter guide for contested primary races.
Yeah.
Votekentucky.us. Some great information.
A lot of good, yes.
To help you vote wisely on Election Day, May 21st.
Yep. So thank you for joining us. Thanks always for your prayers. Thanks especially to the Lord, and make it a great day in the love and lordship of Jesus Christ. And always a special thanks to you, David. Stay tuned at 12:45 for my good friend Greg Hornhope is here. I'm Greg Williams with David Walls, and you're listening to The Authority of Love.